thought this morning is remain pliable. Pliable is defined as supple enough to bend freely or repeatedly without breaking. It means to be flexible. And you notice I put up here remain pliable, and I put the remain in parentheses. And I did that for a particular reason, because if you remain doing something, that implies that you're already doing it. Amen. So the encouragement to those that are endeavoring by the grace of God to be pliable in His hands, I want you to continue by His grace, remain pliable. And the encouragement to those, maybe you haven't started on that journey yet. My encouragement to you this morning would be to start now. Yes. It's time now to start to be pliable in His hands. I'd like to begin with an analogy I believe that all of us can understand and comprehend, even down to the children. Everybody knows what Play-Doh is, right? Yes. Even Levi and Nora and Gabby, they know what Play-Doh is. Isn't Play-Doh, it's fun to play with, isn't it? Why? Because it's so flexible, isn't it? You can make anything you want out of Play-Doh, can't you? If you had, you know, even if you could be as small as you want it to be, it could be large. If you combined a couple of Play-Doh containers together, you can make some great structure, and you can make that Play-Doh whatever you want it to be. And that Play-Doh has no say in the matter in terms of what you make it. If you want to roll it in a ball, it'll roll in a ball. Right, won't it? If you want to make a square out of it, you can turn it. You can make that Play-Doh whatever you want it to be. So we can all understand that. We can comprehend that. As we think about that, it's so unique because of the things that you can do to it, right? And what happens though if you leave it laying out maybe too long and the air gets to it? What happens to it? It dries up and it gets hard, and then it's not very fun, is it? Because then when you try to mold it, when you try to shape it into what you want it to be, there's some resistance there, isn't there? You know, this morning, God's plan for each and every one of our lives is for us individually to be pliable in His hands. He wants to mold us. He wants to shape us into the whatever vessels of honor that He would have us, each one of us, to be. And that's His plan for all of us. And you know what? I believe that our willingness to be pliable in His hands has a direct effect on the mercy that He extends to us. There's a verse in Romans. It's in the 15th chapter. And it's a writing here where it's something that was said to Moses. Romans 9 and 15. We'll start there.
For he said to Moses,
I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So again, as I mentioned, I believe that our willingness to be pliable in God's hands has a direct effect on His mercy, because it's up to Him. He decides who He's going to extend mercy to. Who are we to look at situations maybe that happen in our world, and sometimes we wonder why do things happen the way they do? We don't know, but it's up to Him. He's the one that extends mercy. He's the one that extends grace, and He has that authority. Sometimes you might look at somebody's life and their situations, and God extends mercy time and time again to them. And sometimes others, it doesn't happen that way. That's His choice. And that's His, He's the one that decides that. But my encouragement to you this morning is to fall on the side of mercy because of our willingness to remain pliable in his hands. That's a better side of mercy than to presume on the other kind of mercy, which we don't know whether it will be extended to us or not. There's a chorus in one of the songs that we sing, and it illustrates this thought this morning. In the number 237, the chorus, it says, "Oh, make of me what thou wilt have me to be." Amen. As clay is, just like that Play-Doh in the hand of the child or an adult, whoever's playing with it, I'm clay, Lord. Make of me what thou wilt have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Lord, what I want you to do in me is to fashion me to thine own image. Lord, work, mold me, shape me, knead me, nudge me, hug me, do whatever you need to do to me, Lord, to make me look like you, to make of me what thou wilt have me to be. I'm going to be fashioned after thine own image. So then it says, fashion me to thine, just fashion me to thine own pleasure till thou shalt thine own image see. You know, that's what God's desire is for each and every one of us. He wants us to be a replica of him. Amen. We want to be an image, his image in the earth today. And you know what? In order to do that, we're dependent on him to help us out. Yeah. We heard about this morning in Sunday school about we can look at ourselves and God give us a job like he had for Moses. But Moses was looking at all the things that he felt like he was inadequate. Yeah. I can't do it. Well, because we need to depend on God. Yeah. And that was made evidently clear this morning in Sunday school. Our dependency is on God. And in order for God to enable us to make each and every one of us the image that he wants us, that he wants each and every one of us to be, we need him to do it. We can't do it of our own self. You know, we're dependent on him to help us out. And he can help us. And you know what? He's trying to help us. And you know what? Where the problem comes in is when we begin to push back against him. See, that's when the trouble, when we strive against him and we oppose him, when we're not pliable as he wants us to be, that's when we come up against some trouble. And God is, he's doing all that he can for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he's everything that he sends our way, there's a purpose in it. So make of me what thou wilt have me to be, as clay. I can ask myself this question, and you can ask yourselves this question this morning. Are you clay in his hands this morning? Are you the soft, pliable clay? Or have you dried out a little bit? Have you gotten a little bit rough? And it's hard to, when he nudges you and pushes on you, there's some resistance there. God wants to change that this morning. Amen. If you continue down in that ninth chapter of Romans, and the 21st verse, there's a little bit more here as it relates to clay and the potter. Romans 9:21. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor. And another unto dishonor. So as you think about that analogy in a natural sense, when a potter is molding clay and how they shape it into the forms that they want it to make, sometimes it doesn't quite shape out the way they want it to. So what do? They ball it back up and then they start all over again. But when we think about each and every one of us, if we're pliable in his hands, if we're not, I go back to that mercy. He'll have mercy upon who. If there's a willingness within us to be pliable in his hands, and maybe he has to work with us a little bit, but he sees that willingness of heart, what do you think he's going to do? His love and his care and his compassion, he's going to keep working with us, won't he? Oh, but when he comes up against some resistance, that's his choice now. You talk about making vessels of honor and dishonor. If there's some resistance that he fights against as he's trying to mold us and shape us, and if he decides to toss us aside, are we going to blame him for that? May the Lord help us. It says here, hath not the potter power over the clay? He's the one, he's the maker. He's the maker now. He'll have to use the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. But he is the creator. And it is yet, right? So, but it falls on us now in terms of him molding and our response now to him endeavoring to mold us and to shape us to be an image, his image. That's his desire for everyone, isn't it? He said, the word says he's not willing that any should perish. Right? So his desire is for every living human being that has ever lived since the beginning of time until he calls this world to eternity is to be an image of him. That's his desire, right? So now he wants to do that for everybody. But you know, our response to him now has an effect on what kind of vessel we are. We're going to be a vessel of honor, or we're going to be a vessel of dishonor. It depends on our response to his molding, to his shaping, to his prodding, to the different things that he sends us in our life and how we respond to it. It's essential to have, this was mentioned again, mentioned this in Sunday school, talk about how it's essential to have faith, first to accept his guidance, right? We have to believe, first of all, that he's looking out for us, right? We have to believe that. We have to recognize that the circumstances of my life, God, whatever is going on, that God is allowing it, or it had to come through him some kind of way. You know, that doesn't speak to just mankind and evilness. That's a separate thing. But, you know, in other words, so God is looking out for our best interests in terms of our eternal soul. So we have to have faith to believe that. And then we have to respond to him in the proper manner. Right? Respond in a way that would allow his influence to have an effect on our lives. That's on each and every one of us. And then we depend on his mercy now as we are pliable in his hands to make us the vessels of honor that he would have us to be. You know, our unwillingness, so if we're not pliable in his hands, our unwillingness, do you know what that does? That's presuming now on his mercy. When God is endeavoring to mold and shape us into his image, and we don't respond in the way that he desires us to respond, then we are presuming, we're taking his mercy for granted. We're just expecting, well, I'm not ready yet. So we're then presuming now that that he's going to continue to extend mercy to me, that he's still going to be there. I wouldn't advise that. I wouldn't advise that. You know, Jesus Christ, he came into the world and he died, right? And his own people, they accepted him with open arms. What is 1 John, the 11th, John the first chapter and the 11th verse say?
He came unto his own,
and his own received him not. He was rejected by his own people. Oh, but see, they had another way, right? No. The fact that they rejected him didn't change the fact that the only way to get to God was going to have to, it was going to have to come through him. Even though that they didn't believe, they didn't have the faith to believe that he was the one that God sent. It all comes back to the fact the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. And the fact that their stubbornness and their unbelief, is that going to be an excuse? It's not that's not going to be an excuse. He came into his own. His own people resisted him. He said, I want you to make, he was the Son of God. After everything that was prophesied and then that came to pass. And they said, no, I don't see it. Presuming on his mercy. Amen. Recognizing if we want to, this thought about being pliable in his hands. Remaining pliable. Yeah. Recognize who he is. Amen. Right? He is the creator. Right? He is the maker. Yeah. And without him, we're nothing. That we talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school as well, didn't we? That it's nothing but, you know, when you think about it, every breath we breathe is the mercy of God. Because it's all in his hands. You know, we expect a sister mentioned in the prayer, one day we're walking around and everything is fine and then something happens just like that, and those circumstances can change in an instant. You know, we get so accustomed to just, oh, I'm going to do this and that and all this. And that's why the scripture talks about if the Lord will. If the Lord will, I'll do this and that. But most importantly, Lord, I just want to respond to you. I want to remain pliable in your hands. In Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, there's an illustration that's given here, starting at verse, and it's just reiterating the fact that he is the creator, he's the maker, and we're the vessels. We're the clay. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 4. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again. And again another vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. You know what? There's several things that we can get out of these few verses here that can help us out. Can encourage us. The writer says that God shows the absolute state of dependence that he has placed on mankind. This is the illustration here that's given as he's going down, as this illustration of the clay and the potter. It helps us to recognize that we are nothing without him. That we are clay in the hands of the potter. the writer says. And it says that he can shape our destinies as he pleases.
Yes.
So it's all in his hands. He's the one that has the overarching control of what goes on in each and every one of our lives. You know, sometimes the enemy of our souls would like us to think that we in control of things, that if I want to do this, I'll do this, and if I want to do that, I'll do that. But that's a trick of the enemy, see? See, God, if God don't want you to do that, you won't do that. He can change situations and circumstances in an instant.
Yes. Amen.
So the writer again says that it says that, you know, in this verse, it talks about the clay that marred in the potter's hands. You know what I don't read in this verse? It doesn't say that the potter took that clay and threw it off somewhere. He didn't dispose of it. He said he took it back and he tried to shape it again. You know what that does for us? It gives us hope to know that there's help still. Maybe I haven't been as pliable as God has wanted me to be. Maybe I haven't even started on the journey, but there's hope now that God is still able to work on you in whatever way that he desires. But you have to have some willingness. We have to recognize his mercy. Recognize, Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, you've extended mercy to me. And now I'm going to respond now in the way that you desire me to respond.
Amen.
So in what he's doing, the writer says, yet he can reclaim by the Almighty. He's the Almighty and he's the all-wise operator. And that even though maybe we haven't been the vessel, maybe we haven't been the image that he's wanted us to be, he can help us to become that. He's still doing that today. There's examples of it in the Bible. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We're talking about the children of Israel. Did they mar in his hand? Did everything that they do, were they the image of him that he would want them to portray? Did he give up on them? They got to the promised land, didn't they? They got to the Canaan land. Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that help you to know there's still hope? Maybe I haven't been as pliable, Lord, as you have wanted me to be, but there's still hope for today.
Amen.
If you haven't started on the journey, maybe you've just been fighting him, resisting him all the way. There's hope this morning for you.
Amen.
He's still shaping. He's still willing to shape and mold you. Maybe you're marred in his hand, but he's still willing and able to make you a vessel of honor. I just want to read one account here. We know that Moses didn't make it to the promised land, did he?
Right.
But you know what? He played a part in the children of Israel still being able to get there.
Yeah.
Let's read just a little portion here in Exodus. Let's go to the 32nd chapter of Exodus. Like us to read verses 10 through 12. Because God was pretty fed up. We'll read about it here. Exodus 32, 10 through 12.
Now therefore, let me alone.
Now this is Moses and God was having a conversation. Said, therefore, let me alone. This is God talking to God saying, let's back up to the ninth verse. I'm sorry, if you could start at the ninth verse. The Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people. Behold,
it is a
stiff-necked people.
Now therefore, let me alone,
that my wrath may wax hot against them,
that I may consume them.
and I will make of thee a great nation. Here Moses and God is having a conversation. And God is saying, these are stiff-necked people. They've marred in my hands. Let me just destroy them, and I can still fulfill the promise that I gave you. I can still make of you a great nation. But what was Moses' response? Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty head? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath. Repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saith unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven. All this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And verse 14, please.
And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people.
And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. So here we have an example of God extending mercy. Yes. You know, you can we know the story about the Israelites and all the things that just, you know, they're known for just murmuring and complaining and so much many, I mean, just one thing after another, it seemed like. And here God was at the point where he was ready to destroy them. Yes. He's the potter now. But here, one of his vessels, one of the characteristics, believe they're talking about Moses, was his love for the children of Israel. Yes. He had a care for them. Here he's pleading to God, Lord, don't destroy them. Yes. He's pleading on their behalf at this point in time. But God, in his love and in his mercy, he didn't do it. Yes. He stayed with them, and he continued to try to mold them, continue to try to shape them. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. You know, we can learn from things like this. We can learn that even if we are like the children of Israel, that God can be merciful to us. But you know what we have to do? We have to recognize his mercy. You know, but you know what? We don't have to go that way. We don't have to. We can endeavor by his grace to remain pliable in his hands, and then we'll be on that other side of his mercy. Amen. I'd like to go a little bit farther here with this thought. You know, the benefits of being pliable, we've made them evident in terms of our life, our spiritual life, but you know, it also ties into our natural life. I'm reminded a week or so ago, having a dialogue with some of my children. And it may be a different word, but it was basically trying to teach them about being pliable. About having, being willing to adjust your position. You know, well, I want to do it this way. Well, I want to do it this way. Who's right? You got to be pliable. So these things that we apply, you know, they just link up together. That's all it is. And these things, when we begin to, we utilize these things in our natural life, it just makes it easier when in our relationship with God. So it's all about, you know, I'm so ready. This is the way it has to be done. Or this is what I want. Well, this is what I want. What are you going to do? Somebody got to be pliable, right? So what I'm trying to teach them, well, somebody's got to give. Somebody has to say, you know what, all right, this time we'll do it your way. And maybe the next time we'll do it my way. Or maybe there's some way that we can meet in the middle. And maybe we get a little bit of mine and a little bit of yours, and then we can meet right down and we can both be pliable. We can't go through life rigid. We heard the expression, my way or the highway. That just doesn't work. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. That's a whole nother message. But the point being is we have to be willing to work together. You know, if we're endeavoring to work for a common goal, it's going to require being pliable, right? You know, some of the young men, they go in there and so diligently on Wednesday night clean the restrooms. Well, what if one of them says, well, I'm going to clean the sink? No, I want to clean the sink. Well, they got to work together, right? They got to be pliable with one another. Say, well, you did it last time. I'll clean the toilet system. I mean, I don't know how to. Somehow, I just know it gets done. Well, thank the Lord, they're being pliable one with another and working together. And that's what it takes. It's going to take that for all of us. It happens like in our relationships, it's the same way. It's the same way. Whether it's our families with siblings or our spouses, it's the same kind of thing. You know, you grow up with brothers and sisters and you have ideas. You want to do things. They want to do things. There has to be some pliability in there, doesn't there? You can't always have your way. And that's just training ground for future relationships. Because when you get two people together and a husband and wife in a marriage, you got to be pliable.
Amen.
God can help us to do that.
Amen.
It's necessary for life, not only in our interactions just with our loved ones and family, but also just with His creation in general. We have to have that same attitude.
Yeah,
remember, we're His image. He's trying to work on us now to be the image that He wants us to be.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have, you know, I got to think of that individual as that's a soul.
Yes. Yes.
You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we were all created in His image. All of us, all of His creation, every person that walks this earth was created in the image of God. And His desire is for everyone to have a relationship with Him. And sometimes maybe that the way people act toward us, maybe the people, the way they respond to us, it might be difficult. Sometimes people make it difficult to see that they were created in the image of God. You know, maybe sometimes we do too now. Help us, Lord. But just, Lord, let me be reminded of that. You know, next time somebody crosses you or maybe says something against you or mistreats you in some kind of way, just remind yourself they were created in the image of God.
Amen.
The next time you driving on the freeway and somebody cuts you off or whatever it is, give you a sign that you don't appreciate, they was created in the image of God. Help me, Lord. You know, we can't do these things of our own accord. We can't do them ourselves. We're dependent on Him. What's the verse everybody could quote? Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. What does it say? I can do a few things. Oh, all things? All things with my own strength? Oh, okay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Lord, it's difficult in this situation, Lord. I don't see how I can be pliable, Lord. But I can do it through your strength. I can't do it on my own now. If I depend on my own strength and might, I can't do it. But Lord, you said I can. This is your word, Lord. I'm standing on the promises, Lord, that you gave me now. You said I could do it if I depend on your strength. So, Lord, I need you to pour in some of your strength to help me be pliable in this situation. You know, sometimes people reach breaking points in relationships, maybe in the circumstances that they're facing in life. But you know what? You just need a little bit more of God. Just need me a little bit more of His Spirit. That's the time where you recognize, Lord, I need more. In this situation, I've come to the end where I'm at my end. Lord, I'm either going to break or I need you to fill me with some more. Now, there's a kind of a silly little analogy, but it's something that we all understand. There's like spaghetti and linguine pasta, right? When you buy it at the store, it's like you just bend it. You don't even have to put much effort to it, do you? You just, and it snaps, right? But what happens when you put it in a little bit boiling water for a little while? Huh? You can wrap it around your finger. You can roll it around your fork. And the only way you're going to break it is if you have something sharp or with your teeth. So in those times when you feel like I can't bend anymore, I can't break anymore, you just need a little bit more of God. Need a little bit more of His Spirit working. Just acknowledge it. Sometimes we make things more difficult than they need to be. Really is what it is. Guess what? Guess who already knows? God knows. The brother mentioned it this morning at Sunday school. We know ourselves, and the only one who knows ourselves more than we know ourselves is God. So don't you know that He knows when we're getting close to that breaking point? So we just need to say, Lord, just acknowledge it. Yes. Now, Lord, I'm at whatever it is in life or your circumstances, maybe just the way life has gone, it just piled up on you and you just see, how can I get out of this? God knows. Yes. Call on Him.
Yes.
Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. God's Spirit. That boiling water is equivalent to God's Spirit surrounding and soaking us up.
Amen.
A little bit more.
Yes.
And it makes the difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
You know, you got to leave it in there long enough, right? Because if you don't put that pasta in there long enough, right, you'll take it out and it'll snap on you. Leave it in there a little bit longer.
Yes.
Get a little bit more of God flowing through you. He'll bend you and shape you and mold you. You'll be surprised yourself.
Yes.
Remember Joseph? Did he have to be pliable?
Yes.
I'm not going to go to the specific stories. You can read it on your own time. But you know what? The essence of what Joseph went through, he recognized that God had something bigger. He had a bigger purpose and plan for his life. He realized that in all of the things that he went through, from his brothers and what they did to him, selling him, and how he was in Egypt and being in prison and Pharaoh and all the things that he went through, he recognized, God, you have a bigger purpose in all of this. And all throughout the process, what you recognize is him remaining pliable.
Amen.
Remaining pliable until God fulfilled the specific purpose that he had him. And then he reunited his family and all that in the end of it. Isn't that wonderful? There's another example that we're very familiar with. Maybe touch on a few of the scriptures. But with this, as it relates to us being pliable in terms of the trials and the tests of life and what God allows to come our way. You know, what was Job? He had one main desire. He just wanted to please God. In the first chapter of Job, in the first verse, we all know it's a very common scripture in Job 1:1. What does it say about him?
There was a man
in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. He feared God and he eschewed evil. So his desire, his main aim and purpose was to please God. That's all he wanted to do. He said, Lord, I want to please you. I want to resist evil. And that was his desire. Did he do anything against that? Nothing, right? All of a sudden, one day, here come the devil talking to God. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's pliable. Was he pliable?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to recap. I mean, but y'all know the story of what happened to Job. He was a very rich man, had a good family, lost all of it, except his wife. And then she even told him, you should curse God and die. But there are some things that he said along the... There one particular verse, and all the things, when you read through the first chapter of Job and all the things that he went through, in that 22nd verse, there's something to be said about him and his desires. What? Go ahead, I'm sorry. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He may have gotten close, but in everything that he went through, you know what he was... The illustration that we can relate to him, he's saying, and I'm kind of putting words in his mouth, I'm the clay, he's the potter.
Yes.
This is what he has for me. Lord, I surrender to your divine will. And then it even makes this it comes kind of full circle in the 10th chapter of Job, and in the 9th verse. So he spoke these words. So let me clarify that. He spoke these specific words in the 10th chapter of Job and the 9th verse.
Remember,
I beseech thee,
thou hast made me as clay.
And will bring me to... So he had a recognition in his mind that I'm clay. And you know what? There's going to be a point in time where I'm going... We were all formed out of dust. And he's forming us as clay into the image that he wants us to be. But we're going to all go back to clay. The writer said he made us and not we ourselves. His hands have made and fashioned these bodies of ours, every part of them. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, if God took so much care in forming and making us the way he did, he has a purpose in us remaining pliable in his hands. And the things that we go through and deal with in this life, whether it's for our own benefit or the benefit of somebody else. The writer said, the soul also which animates the body is his gift. And in this verse, Job is taking notice of both of them. The body is made as clay, cast into a shape. as clay is formed into a vessel, according to the skill and the will of the potter. We are earthen vessels, and soon broken in pieces, made as clay. Therefore, well, you know, and so his point was, how can we then go back to God and say, why'd you make, what were you doing? Really? I'm clay. I say, Lord, whatever you're doing, give me what I need to be able to remain pliable in your hands and to surrender myself to your divine will. You know, my desire, by the help and by the grace of God, is to remain pliable in the Master's hands and to be reminded that I'm clay and he's the potter. So my encouragement to all of us this morning, if you're endeavoring by God's grace to be pliable, remain pliable. Yes, but you know what? For those maybe that you feel like, where am I? Have I marred in his hand? I want you to know this morning there's still hope. Yes. There's still hope to start on this journey. Maybe you've been pushing against him, struggling, fighting him. There's still hope this morning. You can start that journey and get acquainted with him. And then you can, by his grace and strength, remain pliable in his hands. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.